says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Everybody, you are listening to More to Life, the show that explores the life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I am Lisa Popchak.
We're here, we're live, and we are happy to be here with you on this fine Tuesday, June 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure to be back from the Holy Cross Family Ministries Rosary Conference.
In the Boston area, that was a blast.
It was a blast.
Wonderful
a time.
People, wonderful town. I will be glad not to be called Leaser anymore.
Yeah, well, there's that whole kind of northeastern accent.
I had a lot of uncles who were from the Massachusetts area, the Boston, Rhode Island area, and I my whole life I heard Leaser.
Leaser.
And they started it when I got there, and people actually joked about it. I'd say, hi, I'm Lisa, and they'd say, no, up here you're Leaser. I mean, they knew what they were doing. It was really funny, and we had a good time. It was a great, wonderful experience and a great time to connect with all of Holy Cross Family Ministries. What a wonderful organization, and I thank them for having us out.
Gorged ourselves on lobster rolls.
We did. Every time we had a moment off from the conference, we would run into Boston.
Yum.
Which is not easy to run because the traffic was ridiculous this week on the New Shore traffic. And we'd run into Boston, and we'd grab a hot lobster roll because you just can't get them anywhere else.
But, you know, at the conference, we were talking a lot about relationships, of course. That's kind of what we do. It's our thing. And we thought we'd kind of follow up on some of that because some of our friends who are listeners were actually at the conference. And we wanted to discuss today a healthy relationship checkup. You know, what actually constitutes a healthy relationship? You know, everybody's got their own ideas about what they should be able to expect from healthy relationships. But the challenge comes in when your expectations don't match up with another person's expectations. You know, maybe you're in a position where you feel consistently, or at least periodically, disappointed or frustrated because your spouse or your family or your friends just aren't responding to certain important needs that you have. So, what do you do if you're feeling frustrated with those people? You know, and are there times when you just know that enough is enough and you have to call it quits? Today we're going to explore all those ways that you need to try to get your needs met in relationships. You can join the conversation. It's 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number is 877-573-7825. We are here, we are live, and we are talking with you today about those expectations in relationship, what you reasonably can expect from other people, what to do when those expectations aren't being met, and how to know when working hard on a relationship is just beating your head against the wall. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that we were made to love and be loved. As it says in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone, right? Yeah, that said, relationship really is hard work. And it can sometimes be hard to know, as I was saying, you know, the difference between working hard on a relationship and beating your head against the wall.
I don't think there's anything harder than relationship. And a lot of us kind of scoot through life thinking, oh, relationship isn't hard, we just sort of coexist. What happens is if we do that long enough, we either end up feeling completely depleted and ungratified in most cases, and sometime later on, after scooting through a relationship, and it's any relationship, those with our siblings, those with our kids, those with our spouses,
what do you mean by that?
Friends.
I mean, you know, kind of scooting through it leaves us
you
feeling ungratified.
You just don't attend to it. You don't put any extra effort into it. You get up in the morning, you say hi to everybody, you go about what you have to do, you come home at night, you say hi again, you eat a meal, you kind of say, how was your day? Oh, it was fine. And you get together with friends when you can, but there's no extra effort put in. You don't really involve yourself in what's concerning them, what's going on in their lives. You're not really there for them. They're not really there for you.
Yeah, so relationship, you're saying, is you know, you get out of it what you put into it, usually.
Yeah, because if you just kind of scoot through it and think, oh, this isn't hard, and it's not, and it's just sort of, eh, I like these people, I can hang out with these people, eventually, you're either caught up short because either they're not satisfied or you're not satisfied, or it hits a big wall and you realize, wow, there's something really wrong here. The kids are rebelling. The marriage is suffering, and my spouse is telling me they're not so happy in this marriage and they might go elsewhere. The friends are drifting away. Relationship takes a lot of work, and when you put the work into it, it doesn't even go smoothly all the time.
Well,
personalities are so different.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it's generally true that you get out of relationship what you put into it, but you know, sometimes that isn't the case, and you find that you're working really hard to make a relationship work that seems to be getting worse the harder you work on it. Or you find yourself in a situation where there's a lot of history between you and another person. And so you just don't want to deal with it. So you kind of, you keep telling yourself that maybe things will get better if I just pull out. But inevitably, the less time you spend with that person, the harder it is to get along with them, because you find yourself in this place where I feel really good as long as I'm not around them, right? And then I try to call or I try to reach out to them in some way and it doesn't go well. And I think, gee, that was a mistake. You know, and so really what has to happen in those situations is, you actually have to put more energy into the relationship. But again, there comes a time when you're just pouring more and more and more energy into a relationship and it's not working, and you wonder, am I working hard on this, or is this one of those things that just can't be fixed? 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about relationship checkups. You know, are the people in your life meeting your expectations? If not, you know, do you know if those expectations are reasonable? Or if they are, how do you get other people to take you seriously? Or if you're just putting a whole lot of energy into a relationship that's just sucking you dry, how do you know when it's time to say, I'm done? 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns before the Lord in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the people who share our life. In Genesis, you remind us that it's not good for us to be alone, and you fill our days with people whom we can love and be loved by. But sometimes, Lord, it can be hard to reach across the gap that exists between us and others. We want to create loving, supportive relationships, but so many things seem to get in the way. Busyness, fear, selfishness, our own weakness. Help us, Lord, with your grace, to overcome those obstacles to love. Help us to draw from the love in your own heart so that we might be true instruments of healing and unity. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Today we're talking about expectations in relationship. What do you think a healthy relationship requires, and are you getting it from all of your relationships? We are here to help you if you're feeling frustrated or otherwise disappointed by the return you're getting on your relationship investments. Pick up the phone, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We put the question out on our Facebook page. What do you think is the most important ingredient in a healthy relationship, and why? I got a lot of good discussion going on there. You can certainly become a fan of our Facebook page on More to Life. If you go to More, well, go to Facebook first, of course, and then in the search bar you type in More, space, the number 2, space, and then Life, okay? If you still can't find it, type PopChack after that, P-O-P-C-A-K. And if you become a fan of the show on Facebook, you can participate in the ongoing discussion that we have there about the different topics of the day. You can also learn more about the resources we discuss on the program and even get some discounts sometimes. So lots of good deals there by becoming a fan of More to Life on Facebook.
I love all the new faces we're seeing popping up on our Facebook page. The community is growing, and wow, there's a lot of wisdom there. For instance, Christy writes to our question today that she thinks the ability to say I'm sorry and actually mean it is very important in our relationship. She says it's important to live and love with people, to cherish them, to care for each other. But on some level, we are human, and we make mistakes, and we hurt each other. Even, and most especially, the people that we love and are closest to, like our spouses and our children. She says she knows popular psychology disagrees with her on this one, but she actually apologizes to her daughter if the need arises, and she thinks that it will help her daughter trust her more for being able to own up when she can say, I'm wrong about something. I don't know if popular psychology disagrees with her. I know you and I, Greg, agree with her 150,000,000%.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some pockets of people where conventional wisdom would disagree with that idea of apologizing to your children. But honestly, you know, we really encourage that practice. I mean, our kids need to understand that we're not demigods. You know, we're not pretending to be perfect, that we're human just like they are. And in fact, a lot of our legitimate authority as parents come from the fact that we recognize that we're human beings on the road to becoming more perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, just like they are. That's one of the things we were talking about at the conference this past weekend, that families, in the Catholic vision of family, are called to grow together and learn from each other, parents and children. And so when parents mess up, you know, we owe it to our kids to apologize to them. Just like when they mess up, they owe it to us to apologize as well.
And I think that, you know, when we don't apologize to our children because we're superior, we're the parents, we never do anything wrong. Yeah, right. First of all, I don't want to ever have to be that perfect. And I think it sets our kids up for unhealthy expectations in themselves. You know, to think that they have to grow up to be perfect. When they feel like they fail or they don't feel like they can trust us to own up to when they know we've done something that falls short of the mark, they actually harden their heart to themselves, to God, and to us, and that's never healthy for a relationship.
Are you struggling to get your expectations met in your relationships? Maybe your spouse is letting you down or your kids are frustrating you. Maybe you've got some issues going on with your family of origin and you just can't work it out. Well, we are here to help you bridge the gap, evaluate those expectations, find ways to build connections with others, and also to evaluate the health of those relationships where you're not so sure whether you need to keep working on it or not. 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Some of the other folks on our Facebook page responded to the question, what do you think is the most important ingredient in a healthy relationship and why? Carrie says she's not sure she can narrow it down to just one, but she'd say trust, accountability, and communication are the three qualities that she would add. And then Rachel posted underneath Carrie and said, you know, she's going to agree with Carrie, but she wanted to add the word positive before communication. So she would say trust, accountability, and positive communication. And she says it's important to keep working on the relationship because taking a good relationship for granted will lead to a not-so-good relationship.
It's true, and I think Carrie really hit it out of the park here. Trust, accountability, and communication, especially that word trust. Once that's broken, it's really hard to repair. It can be repaired. It can be repaired. And if you're a person of integrity, you can repair it because none of us is perfect. But it really goes back to that idea of, A, being able to apologize even to people we consider subordinate to us, and B, being able to come up with a plan to really work to repair that trust with somebody, to say, this is how I'm going to make it better. This is how I'm going to earn your trust back, and then working that plan. It can happen, but three very important things, trust, accountability, and communication.
There's some really good comments on the Facebook page in response to that question, what do you think is the most important ingredient in a healthy relationship and why? But, you know, here's the challenge, and this is the challenge we're discussing today on More to Life. What happens if you're with somebody who can't or won't say, I'm sorry, and mean it? You know, like Christy says, that's an important part of a relationship, being able to say, I'm sorry, and mean it. What if you're in a relationship with somebody who can't or won't ever apologize? Who never does anything wrong as far as they're concerned? You know, or, you know, Carrie and Rachel both say that trust, accountability, and communication are important in a relationship. But what if the person that you care about has done some things to undermine that trust, cheated on you, not shown up whenever they said they would, not been reliable in lots of different areas? What if they don't know how to positively communicate with you and they're constantly complaining or irritating you? We've got lots of different ways to address all of those concerns. We want to help you overcome those frustrated expectations and disappointments in your relationships today on More to Life's Healthy Relationship Checkup. Give us a call at 877 877- 573-7825.
Greg, we got an email over the weekend that I think really applies to today's topic. I wanted to make sure I handled it. It's a little different question on relationship, but a very, very significant one in terms of romantic relationship and marriage. Nancy from Michigan wrote in, and she said, I met a wonderful guy on a Catholic dating site, and we've been together for a year. 6 months via chat and 6 months in person. He's asked me to marry him, and I'm happy. We share a mutual love for God and faith and have some very same interests. I should be really happy, and most of me is. I couldn't ask for a better friend, but I'm not sure that I should marry him. You see, I don't seem to have any physical attraction to him. When he kisses me, I feel nothing. And when he holds hands with me, I don't find myself wanting anything more. We've promised to remain chaste until the wedding. The problem is for me that that doesn't seem to be a struggle with him. This is unique for me. I've been very attracted to boyfriends in the past, and I'm a little afraid I may be condemning myself to a life of just a really close friendship with my own husband. I've never met such a faithful man or a man that I've shared so much in common with. I do love him, but I just don't feel that zing. Should I marry him, or is this a warning sign? I can't seem to discern it for myself, and I'm hoping you can help me. Nancy in Michigan.
Thanks, Nancy, for the email. Really interesting situation. And so, you know, to put it in terms of the conversation today, I mean, you know, should you be able to expect, you know, from a healthy romantic relationship, that zing, that spark, you know, or how, you know, is it just important to be friends with this person? Because, of course, you know, friendship really is the basis for a solid long-term relationship, even a marriage or romantic relationship. That friendship has to be core. So, you know, to what degree does attraction or, you know, passion or that spark really play a role, or should it play a role? And honestly, you know, I got to say, with the advent of online dating, I'm seeing more and more of this kind of a problem, where people kind of match up online.
Sure, and I think it's a good thing in a way. They match up online according to interests, according to faith dynamics. But it's a very different thing than that idea of, wow, he's cute, or, you know, oh, somebody told me he's great, and there's this, you know, seeing each other's eyes across the room and having that connection. And if you don't have the connection, you don't go out on a second date. You start chatting, you realize you do have a lot of things in common, perhaps you find somebody who actually shares your faith, which is very hard to find, and then you meet them, and it's just not there. That can be kind of frightening. It's a little old world. It's almost like how we used to, you know, match people up via matchmakers or parents arranging marriages, and then you hope it works out. But it's a very different and new dynamic that's happening now.
Yeah, it is interesting that you'd make that kind of connection, too. I hadn't actually thought of it that way, but you're right. You know, the kind of whole you'll learn to love each other sort of a thing, which sometimes worked and sometimes didn't. You know, let's talk about this whole idea of attraction, especially as it relates to the theology of the body. You know, attraction isn't just about lust. There's some interesting research that shows that that spark, that attraction, is really related to some degree, pheromones, which are those the scent signals that males and females give off to each other. And that zing, that spark, is actually a sign that you have found somebody who is genetically compatible with you. That this person's genetic material is different enough from yours that you would have healthy children together. And that the science that's coming out on this is really suggesting that spark is really about reproduction and being able to have healthy kids.
Well, now that said, and that's very important, we do go back to, you know, older times, even biblical times, where people were just kind of matched up and they didn't have a whole lot of problems procreating and then populating the earth. So where does that leave us, Greg, in terms of what the theology of the body says about having this sexual connection with somebody that you're going to be married to? Should she keep trying?
Well, you know, so the question, I guess, that she has to wrestle with, that Nancy has to really look at is, you know, is there absolutely no spark at all? And if so, is that because of some psychological blocks here? You know, she says she's had this attraction for people in the past. you know, is it that this is a different kind of a guy and she's not sure what to do with him? For instance, I've counseled some women who have had a very unhealthy relationship history, have been through a lot of abusive relationships, and now don't know what to do with a nice guy once they find him.
And I have a question to ask you, because you bring up an interesting point, this idea of a different kind of a guy. She says she's never shared a faith dynamic with a boyfriend this way before. Could it be that she's looking at him sort of as this holy man,
yeah,
and not quite able to make that jump into, you know, a physical attraction toward him?
Sure. I mean, sometimes people have this sort of weird idea that faith and sexuality don't mix, right? And so if, Nancy, you're thinking of this you know, boyfriend that you have as, you know, this great faithful guy, you might have a hard time kind of seeing him in that romantic, sexual, attractive context. And if that's the case, you know, working with a faithful counselor through some of those ideas might help you overcome some of that baggage, and be able to move forward with the relationship. If, on the other hand, you find that there really is no spark and no way to work through it, I would really think twice before moving ahead with the relationship, because, you know, as I was sharing before, you know, there, this attraction, it's not just superfluous. It's not just something that you can take or leave. You know, although friendship is the core of a long-term relationship, especially a long-term romantic relationship, there does need to be that spark there. That's that body's calling to the other body, that self calling to the other self on an almost mysterious level. And it's a really important thing to acknowledge and to respect as well. So my encouragement to you would be to get some counseling to try to see, are there certain factors, some psychological factors, that are stopping you from being able to see your fiancé in that light? And if you're not able to work through that, though, or if don't seem to be any factors, it's just not there, then that may very well be a reason to call off the engagement and just kind of cool it for a while and see what happens, because you do need to respect the fact that our bodies do need to call to each other as well and be compatible with each other in addition to our faith and our psychology. So thanks so much for the email. If there's more that we can do to help you out, you know where to find us. We're continuing to take your calls about those frustrated expectations in relationships. You know, when you approach somebody, whether that's your spouse or your kids, you know, we have lots of expectations for our kids. They don't always live up to many of them. Or your extended family or friends. We all have expectations from those relationships. But many times those expectations are frustrated or disappointed. And it's hard to know how to deal with those things gracefully. Some things you need to let go of, some things you need to press. An accumulation of things might mean that it's time to call it quits, but how do you know? We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. When we come back, Emily Bissonette joins us to talk about a disturbing story in the New York Times about a very strange way that some new relationships are getting off the ground. Stick around to find out about that and a whole lot more coming up right after this.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Join Ave Maria Radio's Al Cresta as he speaks at the 13th Annual Call to Holiness Conference at the Burton Manor in Livonia. Call to Holiness continues to offer authentic Catholic teaching, faithful to the magisterium, with this three-day event on Pentecost weekend, June 10th through the 12th. Catholics from across the USA and Canada are expected to see great Catholic speakers and priests participate. In addition to Al's talk and Q&A, keynote speaker Jeanette Bankovic, Jeff Cavins, Father Clement Machado, and Raymond D'Souza are just some of the speakers that will present. Visit calltoholiness.com to learn more and register for all or any of the 3 days, including the main event on Saturday, June 11th. Or call Ave Maria Radio at 734-930-5200. It's a call to fidelity and the power of truth. The 13th Call to Holiness Conference, June 11th at the Burton Manor in Livonia, with optional but limited events on June 10th and 12th, endorsed by Archbishop Alan Vigneron. Go to calltoholiness.com or call 734-930-5200.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we have been talking about the expectations that we have in our relationships and how to deal with the fact that sometimes those expectations, in fact, most of the time those expectations, aren't completely met and the frustrations that result from that. Well, you know, you'd think that when you're entering into a relationship with somebody, you'd at least have the right to expect that you'd get to know the real person. That's not necessarily true these days, according to a brand new article in the New York Times. And Emily Bissonette from Rua Woods, an organization dedicated to promoting the theology of the body, joins us today to talk about this new phenomenon and what it means to all of us who appreciate the theology of the body. Emily, thanks for joining More to Life today.
It's good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about this story in the New York Times that you found about this new way of getting relationships off the ground.
Well, apparently there's a new website that is based, new dating website, and it's all based around creating a fake profile. And people will talk about online dating and how it's you know, always possible for someone to kind of, you know, lie about this or stretch the truth about that. But in this particular site, the whole basis of it is to make yourself someone who you are not. They will provide pictures for you that you can pick from these pictures which one you want to be, and then they will ask different questions so that you can create your own stylized self and become someone who you are not. And so they, you know, mention on the site that or on their promo video, they say, feel free to be creative. Remember, you are creating the ultimate you. And so the whole site is just based on getting to know people who are pretending to be someone who they are not.
Now, I don't think of myself as particularly old, Emily, but this story makes me feel old. I mean, it seems to me like a year or so ago, I remember watching some daytime show where some poor woman was outing herself as being completely conned by some guy. He was a con artist. He came along, he sold her a bill of goods, she fell in love with him, and, you know, he did her wrong. Now we're setting ourselves up for this on the internet, saying, please, please deceive me? This is just mind-boggling to my brain. Why would anybody enter into a relationship like this, and can it ever actually work out, some people want to know?
Well, of course, on the website, they're promoting this and saying, you know, maybe it will work out. We just don't know. This might, you know, it might lead you to meeting someone, perhaps a person who, perhaps you can figure out something about this other person based on the fake things that they choose. However, what I think is that this site basically misses the magic ingredient of a relationship, which is two human persons. I don't really see how you can possibly have an authentic relationship.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing about this because it just seems so mind-numbingly obvious that you need two people to have a relationship, but we actually have to say that now.
Well, I think what? Pope John Paul II actually predicted this in some strange way, because he'd spent, you know, the better part of his time here on Earth teaching that, yes, indeed, you've needed two human persons working for each other's good to have a relationship. And this is just the antithesis of that.
Well, it's really a very startling picture of John Paul's love and responsibility, where he talks about how a human person always deserves to be treated with love and never used as an object. And this really shows us, you know, what it is to be treated as an object. And he says in Love and Responsibility, it's not just a matter of treating another person as an object, but in allowing yourself to be treated that way as well. And this site, you know, just really depicts that very clearly. Two people who are looking for love, which is a, you know, good thing to desire, and yet they're going about it in a way that's the complete opposite of what they're really seeking.
So, you know, here we have a situation where, you know, when we talk about expectations in a relationship, where two people don't even really have the right to expect that they're telling the truth or revealing their true selves to each other. You know, what's the antidote for this? I mean, as Catholic Christians, what do we need to be making sure that we're doing in our own relationships to live out this Catholic vision of love that Pope John Paul II so beautifully articulated in his writings?
Mm. Well, you know, John Paul II loved to quote from Vatican II, the document Gaudium et Spes, where it says, we can't find ourselves except in a sincere gift of ourselves. And we can't give this, you know, really that statement leads us to say that if we can't really give of ourselves unless we have an awareness of who we are and what we are giving. And so I think we really need to cultivate an awareness of the gift of ourselves that God has given us and an appreciation of the gift of other people. And in order to do that, it does, you know, lead us to a degree of risk and vulnerability in a real-life relationship as opposed to a fake dating site like this. And so, of course, it's not easy, but in reality, if we really want to have a meaningful, fulfilling relationship, if we're really truly seeking for authentic love, then these are things we need to be praying about, you know, the ability to receive our lives as a gift from God, to appreciate that, and to be able to receive the gift of another person in the other person's, the truth of who they are, instead of you know, seeking a mask or, you know, a fake vision of another.
Well, and then, you know, for us to both receive authentic love in our own lives as well as evangelize the culture, you know, we really need to hold on to this idea of self-donation and making more of ourselves present to the people that we love and expecting them to be present to us as well, so that we can combat this idea that relationship is just what we say it is and, you know, we can pretend to be other people. And you know, I mean, it's a crazy phenomenon, and I don't know whether it'll actually take root or not, but, you know, as relationships become more phony and more, well, I'm sorry, more just, I don't know, abstract,
imaginary.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we as Catholic Christians need to be more real in all of our relationships as a way of pointing toward the truth of what real love requires. Emily, if folks would like to learn more about your ministry and Rua Woods in particular, where can they go for more information?
Rua Woods' website is ruawoods.org, which is ruahwoods.org. And my blog, including some information about this particular site, is unshakablehope.blogspot.com.
Excellent. Emily, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing this really shocking new trend in relationships as highlighted by the New York Times. God bless you and your good work.
You know, Greg, you make an
excellent point.
You make an excellent point. The idea that the new evangelization that we need to do as Catholics may truly be just being real in relationship. I mean, this is this cloud dating thing is what they're calling it in this article. It's certainly an extreme, but we've been seeing this since the advent of internet dating and internet relationships where people will doctor their profile pictures, doctor information about themselves. It's just snowballing and getting bigger, and we as Catholics often feel like, well, we have to know apologetics perfectly, and we have to get out there, and we have to, you know, speak of God and preach the truth. One of the quickest ways we can preach the truth to the world right now is living the positive opposite of this, being truly self-donative, being very real and authentic in our relationships, because people are hurting for this.
More to life coming up after this.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by our day sponsor, a gift made by Lighthouse Real Estate Group. If you're looking for a house, condo, or business relocation, call Eudora at 248-865-9400. That number again is 248-865-9400.
You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
And now a word of encouragement from Mark Shea at CatholicExchange.com.
Our moment in history is located at the end of a historical process that began when the Reformation, the Renaissance, the Scientific Revolution, and the rise of capitalism began to decouple the natural world from the sacred. Nature ceased to be regarded as our sister and fellow creature, and came to be seen more and more as simply a source of raw materials. Holy places such as Mount Sinai or Jerusalem ceased to be holy and became mere spatial coordinates. In the same way, human beings themselves came to be seen as unusually clever pieces of meat. Given this, it is not surprising that we formed ideas of child-rearing which regarded children as blank CD-ROMs upon which to write behavioral instructions. But children are persons to be trained, not machines to be programmed. Education is the sharing of our lives with our children, not the downloading of mere data. Lives shared in love are what keep our children on the way they should go. I'm Mark Shea for CatholicExchange.com.
At Advanced Dentistry Center, they don't expect to hear things like,
I love going to the dentist!
But as one patient put it, Dr. Matty makes going to the dentist an okay thing. He also makes it affordable with exams and x-rays for just $29. And that's not a limited or first-time offer. It's all the time. Discover the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Your smile deserves a call to 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. We all know it takes a lot of hard work to create and sustain an enduring marriage, but what's the first step in achieving a marriage made for heaven? Well, a good place to start is to check with God. Ask God every morning how He wants you to love your spouse that day, and spend at least 5 minutes listening to His answer. Then take at least 5 more minutes each day praying as a couple about anything in your marriage where you need God's counsel and guidance. Now put the fruit of your prayer into action. Each and every day, think of one request or need that your spouse expresses where your first instinct is to say, no. Assuming it's not immoral or personally demeaning, take a deep breath and choose instead to say yes and cheerfully meet that need or request. These small and relatively easy first steps will start you and your spouse on the road to a happy and enduring marriage. And for more help in creating a marriage made for heaven, visit mortalliferadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Wow, after that last segment, I wonder if people have a right to expect anything from relationships, right? I mean, gosh, to be, to learn of a dating site that actually expects you and wants you to lie to each other, that's kind of disturbing. Well, hopefully your relationships are not in that same spot, and that you do expect certain things from the people that you love and who love you in return. But the truth is, sometimes, even often, those expectations can be disappointed or frustrated, and it's hard to know how to respond gracefully and charitably and effectively when the people that you love disappoint you. If you're struggling to get everything you need out of the love in your life, out of the relationships that you have with your spouse, your kids, your family, your friends, we are here to help at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Jessica has a question for us about her brother. And she says, hello, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I was wondering how to communicate with my resistant, one-year younger, about-to-go-off-to-college brother. I make him food, and, well, frankly, it's still hard to get him out of his room away from his computer. He says he doesn't like how I talk too much, and I've been trying to respect that, but I don't know how to lead into a conversation that he enjoys being a part of. He responds better to my mom than usual, so that's good, but he's still rejecting anything faith-related if he knows it has to do with God. So is there any way I can speak to him about faith and disguise it, you know, since it applies to life anyway? Thanks for your show. I'm almost finished with God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts. It's a really helpful book. And I'm at the limit stage where I think it might help in the case of my sister and I. So thanks again, Jessica. Well, Jessica, thanks so much for writing in with that difficult situation with your brother. I'm assuming that you and he both live at home then?
Yes, obviously, if she's making him food and all of this. And I can see, you know, when you've got a young guy, won't leave his room, just sitting on his computer. He's about to go off to college. You know he doesn't have any real faith dynamic, doesn't want to talk about it. And you do, you know, you're concerned. You're concerned for his soul. You're concerned for his formation. You're concerned that he's just going to flounder the rest of his life. She's got a lot to worry about. And as a young sister, I'm pretty impressed that she's willing to take it on, but I can see her frustration as well.
You know, honestly, though, Jessica, I think that you're going to be limited as to what you can do here because, honestly, it's mom and dad that need to set the tone for the whole family and about what's appropriate behavior. You know, it's up to Lisa and I to teach our kids how to get along with each other and what they can get away with. And when you have parents who aren't insisting that your brother come out of his room and contribute to the, you know, good of the household by having cheerful relationships with you and with, you know, your sister and with them, it becomes very difficult for a sibling to exercise that authority because all he has to do is look at you and say, you're not my mom. Who do you think you are?
I get the sense. Now, you know, it's just a Facebook conversation here, but I get the sense that everybody in the family is a little afraid of this dude. You know, it's like he reacts sort of better to mom. Is that because mom's tiptoeing around? Is that because mom requires less of him? You know, if he's reacting better to mom and she has a sense of power in that relationship, she needs to be using it to draw him out of his room, to have conversations that say, hey, you know what? If you're going off to college, there's some things that really need to be in place in terms of your value system before we allow you to do that. I am concerned that mom's not using the power that she has in this relationship with your brother.
So I think that you need to have a conversation with your folks before you even say anything else to your brother, because I'm not sure that you'll be able to be effective with him, but perhaps by saying to them, listen, guys, I'm really hurt by the way, you know, my brother is acting. I'm sad that he's telling me that I talk too much and that he doesn't like what I talk about and that he's holding up in his room and not being part of the family. And, you know, it's breaking my heart, and I need you guys to do something about it.
I've got one other tip here. Stop making him food! Really? You're making food and taking it to his room, hoping that, you know, he'll throw you a bone and actually have a conversation? Starve him out! You know, he's an 18-year-old boy about to go up for college. Let him come out of his room when he gets hungry enough and then make him have a conversation. You know, at this point, if I were your parents, I'd be disconnecting his computer. I'd be withholding his food until he came down and actually had a family meal and a conversation. There's a lot that needs to be done here, and you really need to be talking to your parents, as Greg was saying, about changing this dynamic and quickly.
If there's more that we can do to coach you through the next steps once you take these first steps, don't hesitate to give us a call here on More to Life or shoot us another email. Jessica, thanks so much for your question. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Let's go now to Mary Alice in Texas.
Hi there, Mary Alice. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Well, you were talking a little while ago about a young lady who was thinking about marrying somebody that she felt was her really good friend.
But she wasn't attracted to him, yes.
But she had felt no attraction to him. And so I think that that it's really not all about her. If this young man has that attraction, feels that attraction to her, then she would be doing him a complete disservice by marrying him. And I say that because I'm in a similar situation where and have been married for a long time to a man who is my very dear friend. However, he does not feel that for me, and it's a very, very ungratifying marriage.
So, Mary Alice, you're saying that your husband is not attracted to you?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that's very painful to have to say. But let me ask you this. Has that always been the case? I mean, he says that he's never found you attractive?
Well, I think that when we were younger, he had normal male urges, if you will. But as time has passed by and we've gotten older and are not as healthy as we were, well, you know, without the younger person normal urges, there's just nothing. And so that's
the way it is.
Well,
because we talk about this phenomenon in our book, Holy Sex, where we talk about how in a long-term relationship, you know, attraction and arousal gets gets the physical part of the relationship off the ground in the early stages of marriage. But because attraction and arousal is largely a physiological thing, it's susceptible to all sorts of physiological assaults, like tiredness
Absolutely.
Or stress or even getting used to somebody. But in a healthy relationship, what's supposed to happen is that attraction is supposed to be fueled by intimacy and sort of assisted
right.
by, or an arousal and attraction are supposed to also be assisted by intimacy. You know, it's like you get to this place where maybe you're a little tired or you're a little stressed, or you don't feel great, but you know, you've been taking care of each other all day long and being really good friends to each other, and you just want to be in the arms of your best friend. And as you're there, stuff starts to happen, you know, and it just feels good to be together. And in a long-term relationship, that's more often what happens than not. If a couple is sort of relying exclusively on arousal or attraction to fuel their physical relationship, then you get into trouble because, you know, it's not there, you know, or it's hard to get it started again. And I guess I'm wondering, if you're saying that you guys are such great friends, do you have that intimacy, that closeness, that then leads to the attraction and arousal and physical affection that I was just describing, that process? Or is it that there's a disconnect there somehow between
the disconnect
intimacy?
The disconnect is in that there is no intimacy, because as the young lady said, she doesn't feel anything when she holds his hand. She doesn't feel anything when they are close. She doesn't have the need for closeness, or feels that need for closeness.
But the difference, Mary Alice, is you're saying that you guys had that at one point.
No, we do not. You know what we had?
That's what I'm saying. You had it at one point, but she's saying that she's engaged, right? So she doesn't have that even now in the early stages of the relationship.
Okay, let me tell you. No, I did not say that. I'm saying that we had a sexual relationship. We did not necessarily, which I think that I mistook for being intimacy.
Let me see if I'm getting this clearly. You felt that it was just his sexual arousal, just because he was a young guy, and it really was never directed toward you personally? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
But
I think that
runs counter to what you're saying, though, to being great friends, though. Because I'm not sure how all that goes together. You know, how are you guys great friends?
Well, we get along well. We can live in common. We can live in a home together, and without turmoil.
Okay, you coexist. You know, Marilyn, here's what I would suggest to you. I really think that you guys need to really be working on the intimacy in your relationship, the emotional closeness.
He's not talking about physical intimacy.
No.
He's talking about the sharing of the heart, the real things of friendship, the things that you share together in terms of things you like to do together. Things that say, hey, I want to do this with my best friend, and that best friend's my husband, not my girlfriend down the street.
Because in order to get the physical relationship on track, you need to have more of that spiritual and psychological and emotional and even social intimacy that's missing, and it sounds like has been missing maybe for a very long time. You guys, you know, coexist, you don't get in each other's way, you don't fight, that's all very good, but that's very different from trying to pursue a passionate life together. And I don't just mean passionate physically. I mean to really be there for each other and be working for each other's good. And as Emily was talking about in her segment, sacrificing for each other's good. I don't hear enough of that kind of going on to create the kind of passion that would then lead to any kind of physical feelings for each other. So I'm really going to encourage you to take advantage of a program like Retrovi, which would be a wonderful opportunity for you and your husband to really get back on track emotionally.
What is that program again?
Retrovi. It's a weekend retreat for couples. You can learn more about it at helpourmarriage.com. HelpOurMarriage.com, or you can even take advantage of our counseling through the Pastoral Solutions Institute and learn more about us at MoreToLifeRadio.com, or just call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. Again, that's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line at 740-266-6461. But we've got to get that emotional and spiritual and psychological intimacy back on track to help then feed into the emotional and the physical closeness that you guys could feel for each other again. I think if you had it before, even if you're not sure, you know, what that was really all about. If you had that spark before, you can get it back, but it has to be through that investment and those other aspects of the relationship. I have to let you go with that, Mary Alice, but thank you so much for the call. And if there is more that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to contact us either through our helpline at 740-266-6461 or by looking us up online at mortalliferadio.com. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Stick around for more Mortal Life and You coming up right after this.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. A federal judge held a hearing on the Indiana law that revokes taxpayer funding for the Planned Parenthood abortion business and indicated a final decision would be coming before July 1. Both sides have 10 days to submit additional written documents. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, a pro-life stalwart, made his bid for the Republican nomination for president official Monday. Santorum is a passionate conservative who in 1994 was elected to the U.S. House to hold in check the pro-abortion policies of another pro-abortion president. Gallup is offering new analysis of its polling data over the last 3 years plus on questions concerning abortion. It unwraps some good news for the right to life movement. Gallup analysis finds Republicans are strongly pro-life while Democrats are slightly less strongly pro-abortion. Young Republicans were the most pro-life. Now, if they would only vote. This is Life News Radio. When you think abortion is a horrible experience, that's pro-life. If you are saddened that women and their babies are abandoned to the concerns of others, that's pro-life. If a fetus is a little child with its own identity, its own personality, not merely a blob of cells, that's pro-life. When someone asks you if you are pro-choice or pro-life, remember the choice is not merely about choice. It's about a baby, a person. Remember to tell others you are pro-life. Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow has yet to take an NFL snap, yet has sold more NFL jerseys than anyone at this point. Part of that is his Christian witness as his mom rejected a doctor's prescription of abortion for Tim. Tim Tebow tells more in his new book, Through My Eyes. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Welcome back to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we've been talking about expectations in relationship, especially when those expectations are disappointed. You know, you expect certain things from your spouse or your kids or your extended family, and it just doesn't come together. You know, is that because your expectations are out of line? Or is it just because the people in your life aren't being as generous as they need to be? And how do you inspire somebody who's holding back? 877-573-7825.
Greg, I have an interesting question here from Maureen, who's writing from Maryland. And she writes, Dear Dr. Greg and Lisa, I feel like I'm going a little crazy. I have a good marriage. We've been married for 8 years. And our marriage has always seemed solid. However, in the last 8 months or so, I have been paralyzed with fear that my husband is cheating on me. The other night, we had a very tearful all-night conversation about it, and my husband finally asked how old I was when my dad had an affair on my mom and left us. I said I was 7. My husband pointed out that our eldest daughter turned 7 this year, and he wondered aloud if that had something to do with my onset of fears. He swears that he's attracted to no one else and would never cheat on me. So I feel like there might be some truth in what he's asking of me, but I don't know what to do with this insight of his now. Any insight you can give me about what to do or if this could be the truth would be really appreciated, because I can't stand living in this fear anymore. Maureen in Maryland.
Thanks, Maureen. I'm really sorry that you're having to go through this, but what a great insight you had there.
Very aware husband. That's very impressive. It took all night and a lot of tears, but
yeah, but you were able to get to it. You know, it certainly is possible. You know, this sort of anniversary reaction is a very common thing. especially whenever we're talking about traumatic things that happened in childhood, and then whenever our own kids hit that certain milestone in our lives, a lot of this stuff can come back. Now, you know, how you respond to it, it depends a lot on how intense it is. Sometimes just coming into the awareness that these feelings that you're having don't have a whole lot to do with what's going on in the present, but rather, you know, are just bringing up old stuff from the past. Sometimes that awareness is enough to let it die down over the next couple of days. So, you know, you get a couple of good night's sleep under your belt. Try to remind yourself that the anxiety you're feeling is not about the state of your marriage, but rather some old ghosts from your family of origin coming back to haunt you a little bit. And try praying through that with your husband whenever you're having those fears. Actually sit down with him, hold hands, and say, God, give us your sense of peace and help us to appreciate the gift that we have in our marriage and how well we take care of each other and attend to each other, and to prevent us from ever making those same old mistakes that my parents made, and help me be confident and trust in your love that you've given us in our home. So start with that, praying together and trying to pray through those fears. Another piece of it, you might benefit from a technique that I talk about in my book, God Help Me, the Stress is Driving Me Crazy. And that's God Help Me, the Stress is Driving Me Crazy, which is a great exercise for helping you go back and kind of heal those different memories and walk through those times in your childhood when your father's infidelity affected you the most. I don't have time to get into it in more detail, unfortunately, but the steps are outlined in God Help Me, This Stress is Driving Me Crazy. And finally, if you find that those two suggestions aren't cutting it, then get in touch with us or the Pastoral Solutions Institute, because it sounds like you might need some coaching at that point to really kind of work through that old hurt and be able to be present to your husband and your kids in this moment and appreciate the relationship that you do have. You can learn more about our counseling practice by visiting us online at moretoliferadio.com or by calling to make an appointment with either me or one of my associates at 740-266-6461. Again, that's 740-266-6461 to participate in the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you so much for allowing us to participate in your lives today. We'll be here tomorrow taking your calls. But until then, come check us out at mortalliferadio.com. And remember, when you're tempted to settle, with God's grace, there really is more to life.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Can't listen 24/7? Go to AveMariaRadio.net and subscribe to the Ave Maria Radio podcast. Listen to your favorite Ave Maria Radio programs or download them to your computer or handheld device. We've been storing Ave Maria Radio programs since 2007. Then stay on our website to learn about the great organizations that support Ave Maria Radio. Now you have even more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All are invited to a Come Holy Spirit workshop Saturday, June 11th at St. Lucy Parish in St. Clair Shores. The workshop will be facilitated by author David Mangan. Bring your friends and a lunch. For further details, call 586-772-0047. That's 586-772-0047. Come join the Save Life organization from St. Agnes Church for their 7th annual community-wide collection for Pregnancy Helpline, Saturday, June 11th, in VG's parking lot on West Grand River in Howell. Save Life will be collecting diapers, wipes, formula, baby clothes, and much more for mothers in need. For further details, call 517-223-8684. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Napa Institute is a newly formed apostolate which exists to instill a new zeal for Jesus Christ in the Catholic faith and to help Catholics respond to the moral and spiritual challenges posed by America's emerging post-Christian culture. It's led by a roster of leading